morning, scripture is going to come from out of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 12 in the NASB version. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 12. And it says this: consider it, or count it all joy, from all my King James folk, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach or without any issues, and it will be given to them. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. So if you're going through a time right now and you just need God to speak to you, you're getting your answer this morning. Verse 8 goes on to say about this particular individual that gets tossed to and fro. Verse 8 says, being a double-minded man or person, unstable in all their ways. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory is his high position. And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. So the more that you have, the more humble you should be. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass. And the flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Can't take it with you. And finally, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been proven, he or she will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Jesus, Fix My Life. Jesus, Fix My Life. Fix My Life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Jesus, Fix My Life. Now, before we dive into the introduction, when you look at that particular graphic on the screen, it may look at first glance like he is in a lot of stress. Okay. And for some of you, you can relate to that. But it also could be somebody that's going through, or, you know, trouble. It looks like he's troubled. It could also look like somebody that's going through a time of transition, moving, you know. Like when it comes to a lot of us folk, we think that if we move to Texas or Atlanta, that's going to solve all our problems. But the thing about it is that you are still you no matter where you go. All right. So it could be transition. It all could look like an individual that may be tired, long day at work, and you're just trying to catch your breath, you know, experiencing burnout, just trying to catch your breath. But it also may look like somebody who is experiencing intense victory. You know how like you have just crossed the finish line after coming past a deep trial, after the man at the court office said the verdict is now in your particular favor. She did say that she was pregnant. He did say that he was going to marry you. There's been many times in my life when God has blessed me so good that I had to sit down and I had to just be like, Lord Jesus, help me to not mess it up. Jesus, Fix My Life. Now, for those of you that love Oprah, this also sounds like Ileana, Fix My Life. But let me give you a nice little news report. Let me give you a nice little alert, news alert. Ileana could help, but nothing else can help like the love of Jesus. Jesus. So let me know if the following words or sentences sound familiar to you on this wonderful Sunday morning. Seasons change. People change. The world keeps on spinning, spinning, spinning into the future. History repeats itself. There is nothing new under the sun. And finally, the only thing that is consistent in this life is change. The sum total of all those phrases that I shared with you this morning, those preceding catchphrases, if you will, lets us know the undeniable truth that change is going to come. Change is going to come. Oh, yes, it is. Change is going to come. It will come. And it is necessary. And as people, the people of God, whether you believe and even those of you that are God's children, you don't know yet, it's still necessary. And while we know of all this, it still shocks us when things happen, when blank happens. But I'm reminded that while the world around us continues to fluctuate, chaos and issues and circumstances and people dressing up, going to an imaginary place like Wakanda full of pride on one particular day, and then on the next day you find out that one of the most prominent evangelists is being scorned and being tortured in comments and saying he will burn in hell, Billy Graham, and then on the other hand, 17 young people died just this past week. Change happens. Stuff happens. The earth groans with birth pains for the manifestation of the sons of God. So while all this stuff is going on, God, here's the good news here, God and his word remain a constant source of sanity in an insane world. So we must understand like that all seasons and changes are not alike. Let me break it down to you. See, people don't go through good times or bad times at the same time. I may be blessed in my season right now, and some of y'all may see me with this or that, but if you have been with me any length of time, you would have known when we first started this ministry, it didn't look like it. From the forefront to this particular place. From a car blowing a header gasket and being in front of the church parking lot for 2 weeks smoking to where I am right now. To people getting up in the middle of a message while I'm preaching about hell is hot and you going unless you get right with God to where I am right now. Having influence in a city that's growing day by day. So seasons change, but people don't all run into the house of the Lord at the same time. People don't all need God at the same time. Good things and bad things don't happen at the same time. A season of plenty for you may not be a time of blessing for me. A time and pain and pleasure or pain and pressure for me may be a time of victory and breakthrough for you. So you may be in pain right now while I'm celebrating how good God is. You may be happy that you got you a boo, but somebody's going through a divorce all on the same day. Somebody's happy to give. Somebody's still holding back because they still have the religious mindset that them preachers and them Christian folk taking my money. It's persistent. But the good news is things change. And not only do things change, these things all can happen in parallel. So just as I was telling you a little bit earlier, in James chapter 1, it gives you a systematic view of all of those phases. The first phase of change that many of us will go through is a time of trouble. It happens. The second phase that many of us go through in our life is transition. The third phase is a time of, you know, tiredness, weariness. And then the time that all of us long for is a time of triumph, which, if you don't have the right type of wisdom, can be troublesome, a time of transition, and tire you all at the same time. So let's deal with number one. For those of you that are here this morning, I pray that one of these four areas touches your heart, because I believe this is at least one season that at least one of you are in right now, or maybe you're in all three or four. Let's see. So let's go through the time of trouble. We know and we have heard that God is a present help in a time of trouble. Troubled waters, stirring of the waters. God is a bridge over troubled waters. Many of you, or at least one of you right now, is living in a troubled time in your life. So maybe when you look at this message, you're saying, Jesus, fix it. Or if you're from the neighborhood, fix it, Jesus. Fix it for me. Fix it, Jesus. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3 through 9, we have one particular individual that's going through a situation that is out of his control. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3 through 9, this is the after effect of a particular man called Isaiah, if you will, or Elijah, if you will, excuse me. And Elijah has just heard some news, some bad news. You know, like some of y'all got some bad news that your tax returns just got seized because you owe. You got some bad news that there's going to be a layoff. You got some bad news that there's an argument in the house. You got some bad news and now it's ruined your whole Sunday morning at church. That text message could be some bad news. So this particular individual got some bad news from a queen called Jezebel. He just got finished slaying the 250 prophets of Baal. Fire came down from heaven, took up the sacrifices while the false prophets were cutting themselves in histrionics and catatonic means, bloodying themselves, trying to make the false god come to life. But no answer. He mocked them. They were all destroyed, and she wanted revenge. He was at the pinnacle of his ministry, and now he's going through some trouble. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3 through 9, and verse 3, it says, and when he saw that letter, he got a letter from her. He arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. And he left his servant there. Folk trying to help him, he wanted to be by himself. Have you been there? Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. All right, you logged off of Facebook and you deactivated. Because you're going through some trouble right now. You're going through some issues and some circumstances right now. It's not good at the house this month like it was last month. So he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree or a terebinth tree, juniper. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. No better. Daddy wasn't nothing. I'm not going to be anything either. Mama was out there. I'm going to follow the trend too. I'm tired of doing right. That's how we felt. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly, look at this, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat you some comfort food. Many of you do that too. When you're going through and you're stressed and you're in trouble, you go right to that refrigerator and you open up that thing and you eat yourself into oblivion. And I wonder why the angel from God did this, because he understands that we're humans and sometimes it's crazy being upset on the empty stomach. There's anything that mama told me, she said, don't make a decision when you're tired, hungry, or upset. So God at least wanted to help with the food part. So he gave him some food. I like to say angel food cake, if you will. Verse 6 says, then he looked And there by his head was a cake baked. It had some ingredients in it. On coals and a jar of water. Look at that. It looks like communion. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Have you ever wanted to just lay down and not go anywhere? Have you ever just wanted to stay where you are and not move because you're going through so much right now in your life? You just want to stay in the bed and just keep your eyes closed. You've already quit your job 3 times, but you know you got to get up for them kids. You know you got to get up because you got mouths to feed. You got people to see, places to go, lives to touch. And you don't want to go anywhere, but you standing right there in the bed saying, God, kill me. Let me visit heaven for at least 3 months. I'm in trouble. Verse 7 goes on and says, and the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Young man, young woman, old man, old woman, and anybody in between, maybe you're in a season in your life right now where the journey is too great. Maybe you're tired running from the Lord, and it's getting too great at this time in your life. You could skip church for 5 years and you would be all right, but then this season is different. You're restless. You're in trouble. Everybody that's online doesn't have any answers. You don't even look at that person that has good quotes about scriptures anymore. You've blocked that now. You've unfollowed the preacher. You're in a season right now where you just need some help. But let me bring this out to you. You know the translation of all that? It's a man who is depressed. When you are depressed, you can have $1 million in front of you and you'll still find out that there's something wrong. I don't want 10s and 20s. I want 100s instead. And you get angry because you're in dire need of deliverance. You need Jesus to fix it. So verse 8 says, so he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb. So he was only able to eat twice in 40 days or 40 nights. So he was in the wilderness experience. Sounds a little bit like Jesus when he was in the wilderness with the devil for 40 days or 40 nights. Sounds a little bit familiar. It sounds like Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. It sounds familiar. That oftentimes the enemy will come when you're in a dry season in your life. But that oftentimes is when God will come too. He is like the oasis in the desert. God oftentimes is like a cactus in the middle of a dry field. It doesn't look like you can approach him, but if you get close enough and you find out what's on the inside, you can be nourished by it. God is like a cactus. He's pain and can be painful and nourishing all at the same time. So you have to be careful of how you approach him. Be careful how you approach them during the dry time and season, trying to help you show you that Jesus can fix your life. And that wasn't it, y'all. Soon as he came to the end of the journey, you can imagine what's in his mind. It's so dry out here. It's so hard out here with no job. It's so hard out here going through the same marriage situation over and over again. These kids are getting on my nerves. These relatives are getting on my nerves. These people at this church, they don't pay attention to my gifts. Dry place. Only a little bit of nourishment. Troubled times. Donald Trump is president now. Oh my God. Barack Obama's not coming back. Oh my God. The concert is not playing this weekend. It's got canceled. Oh my goodness. I can't go out of town. I can't go back to school. I can't have any more children. I have enough children and they're running my mind crazy. He's gone and he's left. I can't listen to a man raise his voice because you remind me of my abusive father. I'm in trouble and I need help. And verse 9 says, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. He went into the cave, crawled back into the cave of depression. Wallowing in his problems, wallowing in what's going wrong in the family, wallowing in why I don't understand why they won't listen to me. I don't understand why they just won't come to the house of the Lord. They need God. I see that they need God. He's helped me and I've told them that, but they won't move. Why not? It's troubling me, Lord. It's perplexing my mind. It has me confused. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that particular place. Have you ever been in a place where it's dark and you just want to just to sit there? At night, I sleep, I toss and turn. Candlesticks in the dark. It smells like some bodies are being burned. All these walls are staring at me on every side. I have all the lights off. Because I'm in trouble. I don't want the next day to come. God, kill me now. That's how Moses felt. That's how Elijah felt. That's even how Jesus felt. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And the word of the Lord came to him in the midst of his situation of troubled times. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Dion? What are you doing here, Al? What are you doing here, Crystal? What are you doing here in this dark place? It's for demonstration purposes only. What are you doing here? Why are you wallowing? Why do you think that I can't get you out? See, oftentimes when we're in trouble, we get so convoluted with what's going on until we forget our identity. Because the same man that called fire down from heaven was the same man that was hunkered in a cave. So here's a nice little news note and word of encouragement for anybody that's going through trouble in their life right now. I wanted to share with you that you are in a situation, not the situation. You are in trouble, but you're not the source of the trouble. I'm so glad. Yes. Trouble don't last always. I'm so glad. Trouble don't last always. He may not come when you want him, but he's on time. On time. Trouble won't last always, but do you believe that? Do you believe that? After the fourth year in chapter 13, do you believe that? After filing bankruptcy, do you believe that? After the divorce papers have been signed, do you believe that? When you feel like your marriage is about to crumble, do you still believe God can fix the situation? So God proceeded to ask Elijah, what are you doing here? Now he knew, but he wanted to know what he was going to say. And they began to converse, and then God spoke in a still, small voice. And he got out of that cave, and he faced his enemy. His enemy was defeated, not even through Elijah, but through a man named Jehu and his soldiers, got hold of Jezebel, threw her out of a window as it was prophesied, and the only thing that was left after she was trampled and eaten by dogs was hands and feet. So God is going to bring some of you who are in a troubled season by enemies to a point to where you will actually see your enemy fall. But you won't be able to say a word. Looking should be satisfaction enough. Trouble. But then you may not be in trouble in your life. So for those of you that are watching online and in the sanctuary this morning, you may be in a time of transition or living in a season of deliverance. Instead of fix it, Jesus, it's Fix me, Jesus. Fix me, Jesus. Fix my life, Jesus. So in the first situation, it was trouble that happened to him. But in this particular situation, many of you may have trouble within your souls, within your minds, and within your spirit. There's trouble without you on the outside, and you're going through. Not your fault. But on this particular situation, you got trouble on the inside of your heart. Your mind have been pricked. See, the thing about man is, see, for those of you that wonder sometimes why sometimes it could be difficult in a church that preaches the gospel and preaches the truth, is because by nature, as people, even those of us that are saved, and especially those of you that don't know the Lord, when you hear things that are contrary to your life, contrary to the sin that you indulge in, it makes you feel uncomfortable. People who live sinful lives rally around other people who live sinful lives. And you are an affront to God, and you know it. See, people are not worried about whether or not God exists. People are worried about whether God has providence and if he has say-so over their life and into the next world. But I ask you, if only God can judge you, what lawyer can you get that will help you drop your charges? If God is the only one who can judge you. But Jesus, he can fix you too. Deuteronomy chapter 31 tells us about a time of transition. See, when you have been told the truth and when you're trying to do right, it is a time of transition. It is. It takes time to go from out of darkness into the marvelous light. This is when you get saved and you know better, but everything around you doesn't reflect what God has done on the inside of you. That is the sanctification process, and the sanctification process is a lifetime. For all of you that did see Black Panther, if you haven't seen it yet, too bad. You should have seen it already. The vibranium that was inside of that particular mountain came to that land of Wakanda, if you will. And it was precious, but in its raw state, it was still not worth anything. So they had to mine it and cultivate it, and they had to know what to do with it in order to bring out its value. Likewise, when you get saved, it's on the inside of you, you know right from wrong, but then it takes time to get all of that popimp, P-I-M-P-ology. It takes time to get all that twister, all that chronic, all that cussing, all that stuff, all that smell out of your system. It takes time. That's why when a person first gets saved, that these new babies or the new lambs, whether you're old or young, we don't send them out on the mission field as soon as they get saved. That's right. Amen. I don't send you out into a war and try to orchestrate what's going on in a theater or the area of resistance, and you just got your firearm license after taking one course for 4 hours. Likewise, it takes time to transition. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1 through 6, it says, so Moses, who was on his way out, went and spoke these words to all of Israel. Now, let me give you the prelude to this. Moses had struck the rock out of frustration. He loved the people so much until he couldn't go into the promise. This symbolizes a leader that is so into his family and the group that he's with until he loses out on what God has for him. Don't let your family get you in trouble. Don't let your family get you in trouble. Don't stress you out with your family. Your family is still your family. They're there by blood, but only blood of Jesus can get them to heaven. That was for somebody. So Moses went and spoke these words to all of Israel. He struck the rock. God told him that you're going to die on Mount Nebo. I'm going to show you what I had for you, but you can't go in because of your disobedience. So Moses went and spoke these words to all of Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able able to come and go, and the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. You're not going to get the 3,000 seat sanctuary. You're not going to go and you're going to marry this particular man in this age that you're at right now. You're not going to have any children. You're not going to have the six-figure job. You're not going to do it because you are disobedient. I'm telling you, no. You shall not cross this Jordan. But he had enough gumption, he had enough humility to admit that. And so in verse 3, it says, it is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. I'm no longer you're going to be your leader. See, all the people messed up. But since he was the leader, they get to go in with their hard-headed selves, but he has to stay where he is because he knew better. That's crazy, isn't it? If you are ignorant, it's better for you to not even know who God is than for you to know who God is and disobey God. That's the reason why it looks like the wicked are doing so well, because God is having mercy on them just like he had mercy on you. Every person in this building was a secret atheist in their heart at one moment in time because of sin. We denied God with our actions. Everybody in this building did. And God still allowed for you to live until he brought you to himself. So it is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you. And you shall dispossess them. Get all of that worldliness out of your system. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you. I'm going to choose a new leader in this time of transition. Just as the Lord has spoken, the Lord will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og and the king of the Amorites and to their land. We need to destroy them. The Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded to you. In other words, do what I tell you to do and you're going to be all right. We're 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 going to be all right if you do what I tell you to do. And I love this. Now you know the story behind verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. God says he's not going to forget about those of you that are trying to do right, but it's hard. I can't help it if I wanted to. Can't help it even if I could. Can't help it if I wanted to. Couldn't help it. No. Everybody in this building at one point in time in their life has had the case of the can't help it. I can't help but to start an argument when there is none. I can't help but to go back to this substance in order to drink away or smoke away the pain. I can't help but go back into this abusive situation. I can't help it. It's a part of my DNA. I saw mama and daddy grow up and daddy slapped her inside of the head, so I'm going to choose a woman that I can slap inside of the head, because that's how you keep them in line. And we witness all these toxic things growing up, and it's into our system, and then we end up getting saved. And now, preacher, now that you got me saved, or not gotten me saved, now that I'm saved, you want me to start preaching the day after I get saved? I'll do it because, you know, I want to be happy and obedient, but you're putting pressure on me that I can't even withstand. I'm in a time of transition. See, when you're in a time of transition, you don't do anything. You sit and you learn. You sit and you process what's going on in your life. You sit down because it's necessary that you don't mess up somebody else's life. Yeah. See, for those of you that have issues with church folk, let me help you out if you got issue with church folk. See, sometimes the church folk that you come in contact with that act all crazy is because they're in a time of transition. You were expecting for it to be heaven when you came into the house of the Lord, right? You expected for everybody to be cool and no hypocrites here, right? That's what you thought, right? That's how you grew up, with all the red seats and the seats behind you and the red pews and the high steeple few people. That's how you grew up, right? Everybody was perfect, right? No. The person might be in a time of transition. They're being saved. They love Jesus, and that's enough. But it takes time to drain all that poison out of you. It takes time. It took Israel 40 years, isn't that right? It took them 40 years to get all of Egypt out of their system. They still had ankhs around their necks, around their wrists, and tattoos on their legs. Yeah, they had all that stuff still in them. And they had to go through a time of detox because they weren't ready to embrace the blessing that God had for them. That's the reason why sometimes people have to go to rehab. I wanted to go to rehab, but I said no, no, no. And she's dead now. Early young age. What was her name again? Amy Winehouse. Thank you, my sister. All of the talent, all of the love in the world. But she died early. So don't jump out there too far if you're in the time of transition in your life. Be still, be quiet, and just sit there and let God fix you. But then you might be tired. Okay, Jesus fixed it. He fixed my life, fixed my situation. You know how it is. Everybody got them situations, right? You know how like you got them situations. You don't want to tell the pastor what's going on. You want him in your business. He said, Pastor, just pray for me. Don't pray for me. Just pray for me. And that's the good thing about it. And I had to learn this over the years, too. I had to learn how to stay out of folk business and give them to God. I don't want to be a nosy church. Trust me, I tried to play God maybe like 3 or 4 years. I almost killed myself. So now I stay out of folk business. I just pray for you, and I stay out of your business. You come to me, I help you. I tell you what thus saith the Lord, but I'm not going to be searching through your Facebook. I'm not going to try to inbox you 405 times. I'm not going to ask you how come you missed 3 or 4 Sundays. I'm not going to ask you none of that unless God tells me to. God may be working on you while you're on the island with, you know, the kvassia in your mouth. He might be working on you. He was working on me when I first got saved. Yeah, I was saved. But then I went on a honeymoon and I had a stogie about this long out my mouth thinking I was Jay-Z. I was being saved. Now, if you just took a snapshot of that picture at that point in time in my life, you would have judged me up and down saying, oh, how Christian are you? That's the new buzzword now. How Christian are you? And these folk are saying, how Christian are you? They don't even know what a Christian is. They don't even know the standard. But be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them or all those people that you left back home. For the Lord God is with you. The Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. But once again, if you're tired, that's a whole thing altogether. You know what to do, and you've been doing it, but now, I don't know about you, but there was a season in time in ministry where I was like, forget all of this. It's too much. It was much easier being unsaved than it is saved. That's how I felt. Oh, me? Yes, me. I wanted to put on my wife beater t-shirt. That's a t-shirt that has no sleeves for those of you that are not from the neighborhood. I want to get a white beater t-shirt and I want to sit out in my 85 Monte Carlo outside of the parking lot with my Black and Miles and my Hennessy and sit right there inside of the car and smoke my life away with the chronic going on even while preaching. But I did have enough sense to at least wait until I wanted to go out of town. So I've tried to figure a weekend that I could go out of town when nobody knew me so I can indulge in some sinfulness. That's how I felt, because I was tired of doing right. But for those of you that are living in a season of tiredness, I want to change that word and let you know that you don't have to be tired, but it may be a time that you need to endure or have some endurance. You ever wonder how those people that run like 400 miles don't have no muscles, but you can have somebody that has a whole bunch of muscles and they look like they're powerful and strong and they'll be like and they done, because they were built for the long race. Those that run long races or marathons are thin by nature. This ministry is not a sprinting ministry. This is a marathon ministry. That's the reason why on some Sundays it's thick up in here and other Sundays it's as thin as the eye of a needle. Because truth takes time to process, and everybody has to handle it in different ways. And people are going through different phases. It is what it is. But I hear all that, preacher. The truth is that I'm done with the fixing process. I don't want you to fix me no more. I'm done with the fixing process. I did what the preacher said. I got married, and it's still hell in the house. Ain't nothing get better. But sometimes things like that happen because there's still changes that need to be made in you.
Amen. That's right.
And you're tired, not just because of the journey, but God still has you under the exercise mat, doing the push-ups. I'm so tired of this, Lord. I'm so tired and weary. I'm tired, Lord. I done said that a couple of times. I think I cussed one time, too. I'm just saying. In the past. Not right now, in the past. It got kind of rough. So I had to let one out. And then I came to myself. I was done with the fixing process. You know how somebody said, you're going through a season right now in your life to where God is working on you and he's going to make you something great. And then you'd be like, man, the H with all that. I don't want him to work on me no more because I'm tired of this process. But Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 says, come to me, all those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In other words, my way of doing things is easy, and my way of doing things is right. You missed it. Your way is going to kill you. But Jesus' way is hard, but it's still going to bring you life. Yeah. Oh, you still don't get it. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30 in the you know, the neighborhood version. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion and coming to church over and over and over again? And the preacher's in the background with a Jerry Curl and a Viceroy cigarette or Newports inside of the car? Acting all crazy over it again, bending that microphone down, talking about something. Ain't the Lord all right? And his life says, no, it's not. You tired of that? I would be tired of that too. Come to me. Find a church where Jesus really is. Get away. Come away with me tonight. Norah Jones, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Tiptoe through the tulips. I said something. Y'all still staring at me like something's supposed to happen. Stay where you at with your bad self. Don't praise God with your bad self. Just be still like you're in the Baptist church with your bad self. Well, I'm going to raise my hands and I'm going to praise him with all the stuff that you see in the parking lot, my house, my car, my wife, my family, my kids, all them gets ready. I'm going to keep on doing that regardless because I know from whom my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. Maker of all heaven and earth. So you may be tired, just like I was. I was tired. I was weary, worn, and sad. But now I found my resting place. And he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Ooh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. That's what you have to say to yourself when you get tired. And then last but not least, some of y'all in here are living and walking in victory. Victory belongs to you. Victory belongs to you. You were single for almost half of your life. And now a new boo done popped up. Look at God. And you got kids too, and he'll love you with them kids too. Even the bad ones. Look at God. Look at God. The church fills up one particular Sunday. Look at God. Y'all can pay y'all bills. Look at God. The lights didn't get cut off for 3 months in a row. Look at God. He actually took me out on Valentine's Day, and I didn't have to worry about who else was going to show up. Look at God. That's old school right there. You got that. That's old school. That's back in 60s and 30s like that. They don't make them like that no more. So some of you are living and walking in victory. So as I close, let me give you this methodology of walking in victory. It's going to have a twist on it, to be sure. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18 says, a final word. Be strong in the Lord, divine truth, and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm no matter what season you are in. Against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time. Look at the time of evil. When you see time, I'm not talking about Morris Day and the time. No. I'm talking about the time. If it's a time, that means it's going to be a period. It will start and it will finish. It will have a starting point and it will have a stopping point. You don't need to give up in the middle of those two areas. Sometimes it's not about sticking it to your haters. Sometimes it's all about sticking it out. Sometimes your haters have gone on to glory, or they moved out of town. They moved to Texas and Atlanta. But you still here in Orlando, where you just complain and talk about saying, ain't nobody here, ain't no men here, ain't no women here, ain't nobody here, ain't nobody gonna love up on me, ain't nobody gonna take care of me, I can't find nobody here. No. God is fixing you. God is working on you. God is trying to give you rest. God is trying to get you out of trouble. You're in a different phase now, but now you need to wait and walk in victory. So we're fighting not against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. It's not them people at the IRS. It's the devil in the people at the IRS. It's the devil in your coworker, not your coworker. It's the devil in your supervisor. It's the devil in the person that's on your road that will come with you to church but won't come a second Sunday because you said something or the preacher said something they didn't like. That's what happened. That is the truth of the matter. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be able to stand firm. Don't wait until the battle's over. Shout. Play. Even right now. See, I had to give him the sign right there because he had me preaching out my gun. He's looking at me. But God is still a God of wonder, signs, and miracles. God is still a God of blessings and favor. God is still a God that will allow for you to stand firm, even in the midst of situation and circumstance. Your marriage may look like it's crumbling to pieces, but God can make a crumb cake instead. It may look like it's not going to turn out and turn into something, but God can take nothing and breathe it into something. God can make strange things come out and still be in your favor. So you got to stand your ground. I'm not talking about George Zimmerman stand your ground. No, that was of the devil. I'm talking about stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body's armor for God's righteousness, for shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news of the gospel, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all those things, hold up the shield of faith. There it is, the 300. Click, clank. Click, clank. Oh, here it is. I'm going to take my shield of faith. I may not have any more weapons, but at least I have my faith. I have faith whether you shout. I have faith even if you don't shout. I have faith whether you give. I have faith even if you don't give. I have faith even if you listen. If you don't listen to whatever I say, I'm going to still love God, and I'm still going to preach his gospel, because he's the one that's still holding this whole thing up. And verse Verse 17 says, put on salvation as your helmet. That means even if you feel like or think that you're not saved, you're still saved anyway. Even if you got all those voices swirling around your head, God's word is still true. So put on that helmet of salvation and take up the sword, snicker snack of the spirit, which is the word of God. Don't leave home without it. Matter of fact, you need to leave those credit cards alone. That's why you're looking sour in the face this morning, and pick up the word of God instead that will teach you how to manage your finances. You need to look in the book. You look in the book. Pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. That doesn't mean you just say stick on the Honda or all that gibber jabber. No. I'm talking about praying in the spirit. That means you and God have a heartbeat one for another, not some fake tongue that you learn from buying them on Word Network. Pray in the spirit at all times. Now, what in the world does praying in the spirit mean? Well, if you're saved, you're in the spirit. For in him we live and move and have our being. This is not the spirit. That is Zumba. Stay alert. And be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. See, I love this part right now. Come on, man. I love this part of victory. Because in this particular phase, God's not fixing me. He's not fixing the situation. No, none of that. This time, it's not even that Jesus fixed it. This time, God is letting me know and letting you know that the fight has been fixed. The devil threw in the towel. Not because of you, but because of who is in your corner. Who is in your corner? See, when you're in a prize fighter, you got to get out there by yourself. Got to fight the urge to want to drink every single time I get in an argument. I got to fight the urge to want to call Sheila every single time I get into trouble at the house. I got to fight the urge to want to gossip. I got to fight the urge to want to get in trouble. I got to fight the urge to want to down him and emasculate him in front of everybody when I disagree with him. I got to fight the urge. Got to fight the urge. I got to fight the urge to listen. I got to fight the urge to not involve myself in my grown children's lives. I'm hitting you right now this morning. I got to fight those urges and allow for God to still be God. They ain't listening, give them to God. That's what I do. My hairline grew back because I gave it to God. In my mind, don't mess up my dreams. So victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. And since you are his, it belongs to you too in every phase of your life. Come on, stand to your feet. So at James chapter 1, we saw all these four phases on display. When you go home, watch the video again. You might have missed something when you were yawning. But it's still good regardless. Watch the video and look at James chapter 1 again. Verses 1 through 12. That's a good foundation. 12 is a number of foundation. In James chapter 1, we saw all those phases on display. Counting it joy when trouble comes. We can see that in the scripture. Not being double-minded when transition comes. God pulled you out, and now you're thinking about going back into the wilderness again. Here's the thing. You're always going to have a urge to want to go back in the world, just like I did. And sometimes the devil wins, and sometimes God wins. Eventually, God in you will win all the time if you allow it. Eventually it'll happen. But the key thing is to continue to not put yourself into tempting situations. If you know you got an alcohol problem, guess what? Guess what? You can't go to Bob Marley's with all the girls and sit at the bar. You can sit in the corner by the entrance and listen to the music. You can listen to the music, but you can't sit up at the bar talking about some, hey, Sheila, hey. And they cool. They just drinking away, no problem. But you, God done delivered you last Sunday. Now you just up there and be like, Lord Jesus. And then watch one of your friends come up to you be like, you got a scripture for me, girl? Since you done got saved and acting all brand new like that, that's how the devil gets you. And you just sitting up at the bar talking about, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, you got a lust problem. Boy, she got some hips just like, man, shake what your mama gave you. That's what's in your mind. And all of a sudden, all of what you like comes walking by. And one of your friends talk about something, man, you see that right there? You see, your wife ain't here? Look, man, look. Ain't nothing wrong with looking. And you be like, man, no, I'm trying to do right, man. I'm trying to do right. What you got your eyes closed for? You see it, there it is. Never trust the big butt with a smile. Can't be double-minded when transition comes. So if God is delivering you, let the process take its place. Have endurance when things get long and tiresome. Yeah. You don't have to raise your hand, but if you're a person in here that's just tired of the fight, man, like, Lord Jesus, this devil right here, it seems like it's easy, but they got a lot of endurance. This ain't no big problem. This isn't, you know, trying to do economic policy for the UN. Homegirl just ain't acting right. My coworker is just acting crazy. All they have to do is just follow the process. But it's messing up my work. And it has me all stressed out. Lord Jesus. I'm praying, God. I've been praying for like 3 months, but I'm tired of praying. Endurance. Keep on going. You might be in line for a promotion. Everybody's getting promoted except for you. You play Victory Belongs to Jesus. And when you get your review, you only get a 1% raise. Oh my God. You got a choice to make. You can even flip tables over like Jesus did in the temple. For those of you from the neighborhood, Willie Turner, you can flip over and tell them to give you your check with a couple of words in front of that. And you quit. But don't do that, because the bill is still going to come. The bill does not give a flip about your emotion. So if you're going to quit this morning because somebody got on your nerves, get out your feelings and go to work on Monday. Amen. Yes. That was a word for somebody. I don't know who it is. I ain't been watching your Facebook page. I've been thinking about Wakanda. Wakanda. That's what I've been thinking about. Don't you quit on Monday. Go back to work. And finally, victory over it all in the time of triumph. When you walk in victory, still just take it all in and enjoy that season. Those phases are sometimes necessary so that you can handle the victory that God has placed in your hands. So repeat after me, Jesus, fix my life for every season. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you and we love you, Lord God. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to touch us and touch our minds, hearts, and spirits so that we can receive this word and apply it to our lives. Lord God, I pray for those that are in trouble right now that you give them peace which surpasses all human understanding. Lord God, for those that are in transition from out of a world of darkness into light, Lord God, help them to keep on doing right and not be discouraged by the process. Let them know, Lord God, that sanctification is a lifetime situation. They don't have a license to sin, but they do have a license of righteousness. Continue to love them out of their condition. Lord God, I pray for every individual that may be tired and weary from doing right. Lord God, encourage them to keep on pressing forward to the high calling, which is Christ Jesus. Let them not get weary in well-doing, for they will surely reap if they do not faint. And Lord God, I pray that each and every individual, according to their obedience and faith in you, will experience true victory and breakthrough in every area of their life. Prepare them now, Lord God, so that they will be able to handle the promised land. Prepare their minds right now, Lord God. Prepare them for the future family that you're trying to bring to them, the future job, the future abundance and finances, Lord God. Prepare them now and let them embrace the process. We thank you, Lord God, for the phone calls being returned for new jobs. We thank you, Lord God, for increase in finances. We thank you, Lord God, for even wisdom as they receive their tax returns to not squander it all, but to invest it. We thank you, Lord God, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Jesus, fix my life. Amen. Well, I hope and pray that the word of God was something that you could receive this particular morning. And I also pray that whatever phase that you're in right now, always remember that God is still constant and his word is always true. Whether it's 10 years from now or 20 years from now, you look at the scriptures, you're going to still find in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God. So you're going to have to put him first now and put him first all throughout your life. Keep him first, even in times of trouble, even when you're tired, when you're in transition, and definitely when you're in victory. Because there's nothing more that the devil likes to bring somebody down who has once walked in victory. It's like a preacher that has thousands and thousands of members and they led a whole life of integrity in his family and his life, and then all of a sudden something walks into the office and helps him to crumble it all with nothing else to show for. And not only can it happen like that on that large of a scale in a pastor's life, that can happen to each and every one of you if you ever go to another level. So pray even harder when your season of abundance comes, all right? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God wants you to stay up in service. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed, people of God. Be blessed.